Ma, get your shit. We're going to the fucking studio.
Why?
We're gonna do a reunion show. We haven't done one in a couple of years. Your presence is required.
Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you subject yourself to those fucking marks on the internet?
Oh, sounds like somebody's scared to death, like she ain't got it no more.
Okay, let's fucking go then.
Reunion show, take one.
Are all the boys doing the show?
Ma, read your fucking line. Focus! Reunion show, take five.
Tony, I don't even know who the fuck that is.
Oh my God, Ma, this is gonna be like fucking pulling teeth, isn't it?
What is a fucking tribal chief?
Oh, Mom. Reunion show, take 12.
Are you fucking kidding me? I am not gonna say that.
Come on, you fucking pussy. Ow!
Go ahead, curse at me again. See what you're gonna get.
Dad, can you please help me out over here? Show her how it's done, please.
No way. I'm not getting involved with this shit.
Reunion show, take 21.
Listen, Cody Rhodes looks like 94 Lex Luger without the steroid, but with shittier hair.
Take 33. All right, Ma, with this one, tell the boys which one you like better, night one or night two?
Night two.
Why night two?
Because Shane McMahon went down faster than a stripper with student loan debt.
All right, take 40. Let's talk John Cena, Austin Theory. What'd you think of that, Ma?
All I can say is congratulations, Tony.
Why me?
Because we finally found someone who was balding more than you.
Go fuck yourself. Oh my God, stop. I can't do this anymore. You're old, you're rusty, you can't hack it no more. At this point, I'm just gonna put you in a nursing home.
Nursing home? Fuck you. No one's gonna remember you guys. You've been away longer than Roman's been champ. Ooh. And when the show fails, don't come to me to bail you out.
Oh, Mom.
It's time for another wrestling podcast. All right, all right, all right. Are you fucking kidding me?
Guys, I got blocked again on Twitter.
I'm your mark of marks.
That's the most reliable source on the interwebs.
The social assassin at your disposal, bitches.
All right, all right, all right.
Of course, of course.
Welcome to episode 250. It's been 3 long years. I'm Credo.
I'm Angry Cooter, the social assassin, at your disposal, bitches.
I guess I'm Minority Mike. It's been so long. I haven't said that name, Minority Mike, in a long time.
Like, my God, guys. It's 2023. That's what it is. It's April. The last show we did was episode 249 with Vicky Guerrero on February 21st, 2020. And then we just stopped. We walked away. And then, lo and behold, a month later, COVID hit. So, the world stopped, guys. 3 years. We stopped before COVID. We kind of stopped before that even happened. So it's been a while. Let's get to know each other again, I guess. I don't know. Are we reintroducing each other?
Let's cut the shit, Credo. Let's just start the fucking show already.
First of all, we all already know that Cooter is the same asshole that he was 3 years ago.
You're not wrong. And you're still the same fucking midget.
Yeah, basically. I grew an inch.
Hopefully in the right places. Hopefully in the right places, guys. But no, so February 21st, 2020, going back, COVID. What did you guys do? I mean, the whole world stopped. Wrestling stopped. Everything kind of stopped for a little bit. So, I mean, can we just take us back to 2020? Because that was the time of empty arena matches for a while. The show must go on, and it did. And it just looked like it was practice. I mean, that's when we left doing this. I mean, what have you guys been up to? Have you been watching wrestling? I don't know. It's another wrestling podcast, so I hope you watch something out there.
Let's see. I tried to hang in there as long as I could, but I think the silence and the lack of crowd reaction just really killed it for me. I canceled WWE. I really wasn't watching on TV. I think without the crowd, it killed me. And then it was the fake crowd with the screams, or the screens rather, and they're piping in all those sounds and shit. So they basically gave whatever crowd reaction they wanted, and it was completely fake, everything. So at that point, I just threw my hands up in the air and was like, I just can't do this. And every once in a while, I do a podcast with somebody, do a watch along or something, watch something from the good old days. But outside of that, not much. Here and there, I'm a casual fan now.
I got to agree with him on that. I could not take it. It was just too quiet for me. The worst part was what he said with the fake screens and the piped-in sound. I hated that so much. But what I also hated is when they were at the Performance Center and they had all the people that, like, the curtain jerkers or the NXT superstars as the audience, and they were, like, cheering or trying to start chants. It was so terrible. I hated it. And I felt bad for a guy like Drew McIntyre, who finally got his opportunity to win the world title, and he had to do it in an empty arena.
In a five-second match against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and then to top it off, they had an end match with him in the Big Show, if you remember that.
It was weird, man. It was weird. It was you kind of appreciate the fans today and, like, that extra element they add to any show, any live show, you know, just the boos, the cheers, just somebody giving any kind of a reaction. I mean, I love wrestling, but at the same time, it's like, maybe that would have been a great time to just take it back, show repeats, show stuff that's from on the network, try to get people to buy your network by maybe replacing the live shows with the content you already had. And, you know, it was so boring. It was definitely boring, and it definitely took me out of it, right? We were watching wrestling every week, Monday, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, whatever. It's gotten a lot crazier since then, but you kind of just needed that break. And the WWE, the show must go on, I guess. They just kept forcing it no matter what, just because they could, I guess. You know, it was a lot of crazy things, right?
Back, you know? Let me What's put it that? To you this way. You're coming off, I remember right before COVID, we had the return of Edge and that crazy crowd reaction. You had Drew McIntyre against that great performance that Brock Lesnar had in the Rumble, and then him throwing him out. So, like, the setup and the buildup for that Mania looked like it was going to be really, really good. Could have been one of the all-time great cards. And damn, man, what a pandemic can do to a fucking amazing card.
Because that Rumble that year, too, was awesome. Like, you had, like, Keith Lee meeting up with Brock in the Rumble, and then Gunther, Walter, or whoever. I mean, there was, like, epic meetups, right? There was epic meetups during that Rumble. So, and it kind of just fell apart. And I think that was the first year that they did it two nights because they couldn't fit everybody into the same place at the same time. So they had to split into two nights. And we'll talk about that stuff later. But, I mean, it's gotten a lot better, I guess. I mean, fast forward through the pandemic a little bit, but we've returned to semi-normal times in wrestling, semi-normal, even though there's a lot of other things going on that we really haven't mentioned yet within these past 3 years. But
do you watch the same way that you did before?
I mean, I'm a diehard. I love watching Raw live. I love, that's my Monday night, right? It's first day of the week. I'm going to watch Raw no matter what. Before I try to watch everything, man. Before, I would always try to do everything because we were doing this show. So I'm like, I want to watch what's happening so we could talk about it. And
yeah,
see,
you want to be prepared, of course.
Be prepared. So, but since then, I'm like, there's too much, man. There's even more shows than when we left that there is today. So it's too much. I can't do it. I mean, I'll see the news on the dirt sheets. I'll see if something happened, and then I'll go watch it. But for now, like, I can't watch every show in their entirety. You know, like, it's too much. Can you guys? I can't. I just don't have the time for it. I mean, like I said, I just love watching Raw, and that's it. Live, at least once a week, every week.
I try to keep up with everything. My schedule now is just beyond crazy. Like, I don't get home until like 8:30, 9 o'clock on some days. But I get home, I can catch some of NXT. I'm starting to enjoy NXT again, which that's something we should touch on about the rainbow colors that they changed into. And that I try to watch AEW, but like I said, I get home at a certain time. By the time I get home, I'm just exhausted. I try to keep up with that product. I try to do the best I can. This new life I'm living, but just like you, it's just too much.
Yeah.
I don't even consume the way I used to. I mean, I used to be like you, the diehard 3 hour Raw. I don't know if that's an NBC Universal thing, because I just feel like they're obsessed with that 3 hour block. It's an NBC thing. Look, they got that one night on NBC. It's all three Chicago's, 3 hours of that. It's just easy programming. It's lazy. 3 hours of Raw. You know, you don't have to, you know, program a whole channel throughout the night. You got one show doing the whole thing. And then you got what, all the Law and Orders, you know, on one night for NBC. It's just, to me, it's more palatable when you have a 2 hour show like you do on Fox on a Friday night with a SmackDown. And that's the way to go. And I can't even get through that. It's mostly, yo, let me go run to YouTube real quick and just check some clips. You know, that's basically, that's how I keep up now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the world has changed. And that's what we've kind of been dealing with the past 3 years. I know, from empty arenas, fast forward to everything seeming okay. But guys, a lot of things have happened. I want to pick out maybe one thing that had happened within the 3 years that stood out as just like awesome, something maybe you didn't think was going to happen, something that happened, just something that stands out within that 3 year time span of something you want to talk about. The one thing I want to talk about, and feel free to chime in, but is CM Punk. I mean, that was a big deal last year or so, right? I don't know how long we've been into it, but about a year or so ago, right? The return, you honestly didn't think would happen. The guy left, had a little stint in UFC or whatever, got knocked out, MMA stuff. You know, he learned his lesson, yeah, I guess, over
stint,
there.
All right.
A little stint. And, but that, he's just one guy. Like, love him or hate him, he has a fan base. The fan base love him. They want to see him, regardless of what just happened today. But that was a big deal for, I think, for AEW to get him, to bring him back. And to put him out there. And I feel like even to this day, even though he's gone now, I feel like they need to bring him back. Because he, like I said, love him or hate him, he has that power of the people to watch. I don't know. That was a big thing that happened while we were away. And I don't know. What did you guys think of the whole CM Punk return? Because we never really talked about this. So we got to get these things out. It's been 3 years.
Great return. He's put on some decent matches. He's had a nice little run, but he's always hurt. You know, he's older now. He can't. And maybe it's because the competition over there is a little stiffer. Maybe he's a little older. You know, maybe getting his ass whooped by Mikey Gall the way he did just, you know, took the shit out of him. You know what I mean? I don't know. To me, that wasn't even the best part of COVID. But, hey, good for you. You got your CM Punk back. And I was a huge fan, but, you know, it didn't really do much for me.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think the entrance, like just that whole buildup, and we all knew he was coming back. They said it without saying it. And we all tuned into that Rampage to watch it. I thought it was an amazing return. It kind of, I don't want to hold it to that level, but it kind of reminded me of Triple H returning at the Garden. I mean, it just, the place was nuts. And the worst part about it, that show is only an hour. So they had to really time out his entrance. I mean, with Raw, they could just let him go. They could do the runoff time there. With Rampage, unfortunately, they had to time it out. And I thought it was great. I thought his run, though, was a little stale to me. And yeah. I enjoyed it. But then I don't know. I just kind of fell off after a while.
Yeah. I mean,
I was going to say, for me, something I love, career resurgence, Roman Reigns. I don't think there was a bigger fucking hater of Roman Reigns than this guy right here. For 5 years after his initial 2 year run with the Shield, for 5 years, he was just horrible, you know, went away during COVID, came back, and it's a completely different look, completely different character. He can actually cut a fucking promo. He got his teeth fixed. Holy shit. He's the tribal chief, baby. Nobody, yeah. I don't think, has had a better career resurgence within a company without leaving than Roman Reigns.
Yeah, you said that right. I mean, for somebody who years, we talked about it, they keep pushing him down our throats, you know, whether it's a Royal Rumble winner or he's main eventing again, that whole match with Taker, everything. For years, it was like, we get it.
You 5 years of getting shit on, guys.
Yeah. And it's
5 years.
That's crazy. And, you know, it's crazy that it took him that long to find his stride, if you will. But one of the greatest things, he's going to go down as one of the best WWE champions or just superstars that they've ever had. This guy is still young. He could still be around for another 10 years doing stuff. Maybe he'll do the same thing like The Rock and Cena, get into more movies and stuff. We'll see if that happens. But yeah, man, like a whole career resurgence from being forced into the main event, kind of being pushed down our throats, to now finally doing that. I mean, I think Cody even said it on a promo recently that it took him like 8 years to finally to do what he's doing now. But you know, it's great. You cannot
beat this gimmick.
You know how I noticed?
You can't beat this gimmick.
You know how I noticed the time has kind of changed since the last time we did a podcast to today? It's the reason why I've noticed something is because me and Cooter are agreeing on a lot of things so far.
Just wait. We're not done yet.
I know. I'm not speaking too soon, but I completely 110% agree. I think that Roman Reigns character, I'm all for it. The second he was joined with Paul Heyman and became the Bloodline and the Tribal Chief, I believe it. I believe that he's in God mode. He makes me a believer. And we'll get into the whole WrestleMania thing, but I'm okay with him with the titles still, because he is like the end boss that you can't kill. It's great. His run is historic right now.
Not only that, every match he's put on, think of the last three matches he's had. Mania with Cody. He had Sammy before that. He even put on a classic with Logan fucking Paul. There's nobody better in the game right now than Roman. I don't care what you say.
And you know, for somebody like him too, he's reached that like Undertaker level, that Brock Lesnar level, to where he doesn't need to be on TV wrestling every week. He can become that part-timer now, to where he comes in and just wrestles at the pay-per-views or whatever, just because he has that title reign behind him, 900 something days, almost 1,000 days now. You know, he has that aura about him of being like that top boss, like you said it. You know, because when Undertaker left, it's like, oh, who's going to be the next guy to do something kind of like, you know, to be in that top level of superstar? And WWE doesn't have that. They have it now. They have Roman Reigns. They have that Brock Lesnar of being those top bosses, if you will, who don't need to be there every week. So it's a good thing for them. At the same time, I think we'll get into it, though, later about what's the end game for this? Because now you've run through like a lot of your top superstars. You have both the championships that a lot of people are mad about.
Get me started early.
Don't
do it.
Without getting it started early though, look at what's happened. Just even that 3-year time span too, man. So, you know, he was out for, I don't know how long he was out with his leukemia too. That was like a couple months. That wasn't even a year, right? It was like 6 months or something like that.
He went out before Mania during COVID, came back 2020.
But then he left again. Remember, he left, came back during the COVID era, but then decided not to continue because I guess with the treatments and all that stuff, the COVID will like attack his immune system a lot worse than like people like you and I. So he was gone for a while after that. He didn't compete in the WrestleMania, the empty arena WrestleMania.
Oh, right. That's what I'm saying. He left for that. He left during that and came back in 2020.
Yeah, well, he left twice. You want to think about that, because remember when he had the
Before the pandemic, though.
Yeah,
well
before the pandemic.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike? What is something maybe that stood out? I had CM Punk, who's got some Roman Reigns action in there. Anything else within those 3 years that might have you really liked?
Do I want to talk about stuff that stood out that I liked, or that stuff that I didn't like? Is that the question?
Well, whatever you want to.
Well, this could be fun.
Cooter beat me to it when it came to Roman Reigns. I think that what really stood out to me that I really liked was just that run, and the run that's continuing. You know, the Bloodline storyline. I thought the Sami Zayn Bloodline storyline was the best thing in professional wrestling for the past year, in my opinion. I think that's the reason why I tuned in to SmackDown every Friday night, because I wanted to see what was next, what was going on, because I believed in the storyline. I think Sami Zayn he didn't put everything on his back, but he put everything into this storyline as well. And just the storytelling, you guys know me, I'm huge on storytelling. You could stretch out a story and tell that story for months and I'm engaged, I'm hooked. I think that, to me, that was my favorite thing of the year, for the past couple of years, was that storyline, the Bloodline versus Sami Zayn.
Yeah. I mean, he's coming off of wrestling Johnny Knoxville at last year's WrestleMania, kind of being a goofball, silly, you know, stuff to where he finds a way in with Roman Reigns, and it becomes like the story of the year. It's like, wow, WWE finally, when they focus on something, they can be really good storytellers, and like stretching that out over months, a year or whatever. It encapsulated everybody. Everybody loved it. It was great.
Can I throw something out there real quick? One thing I did hate, and I kind of briefly mentioned it earlier, I hated the tie-dye NXT era.
Oh my gosh, yes, it's like that.
I hated it. I don't know what the hell they were doing. What were they thinking? I hated it. Now it's kind of adjusted itself. Carmelo Hayes is one of my favorite wrestlers right now.
Yeah.
And I think Bron Breakker, he's going to be a star when he gets to the main roster. But
if you keep him away from his fucking daddy, yeah.
Keep him away from his father, of course. But if you want to rewind it back to when NXT or Vince and Bruce Pritchard decided, let's throw a little tie-dye in it, and let's get Wale to sing the theme song.
Yeah. It was a weird time, because just looking at that, I feel like in their heads, what they wanted to do was change the production around to look more like a Raw or SmackDown. Brighter lights, you know, making it like when you watch it, when you looked at the ring, it looked like a SmackDown ring, a Raw ring. I don't know if they're trying to like make it look like the main roster or whatnot, but at the same time, I thought we were trying to like forge ahead to make NXT on the same playing field as them. And then it was like, Vince is like, when Triple H was out for a medical condition for months, you know, he was like, fuck you. He's changing it all around and changed everything that everybody loved about NXT. And I get it. Some things need a little bit of a facelift. Like when we do this show, I think it was almost every 6 months I was like updating the logos, updating the graphics, adapting with the times, if you will. But that was like completely unnecessary. I would tell you what, I wouldn't mind the tie-dye if it was still the NXT that we all loved, but they like gutted everybody. They got rid of like the Garganos and I can't remember name everybody that was on that roster, but like, I feel like
Samoa Joe,
they fired him twice. But it's like, I feel like they gutted it and they try to make it even younger. And I like younger talent, inexperienced talent, like people who shouldn't be wrestling. For example, The Rock's daughter, who just had an NXT match, shouldn't have had a match right now. I don't know if you guys saw that over the weekend, but that's a prime example of they're trying to put this talent out there that hasn't had any experience. And I don't know. It's a totally different product. It was totally different, and nobody loves it. To this day, everybody still thinks that's the most horrible show on weekly.
I don't think it's the most horrible anymore. I mean, like I said, like I mentioned Carmelo Hayes. If you guys haven't seen Carmelo Hayes, watch him.
Former Christian Casanova, Northeast Wrestling. I've seen him tons of times over here in Connecticut. Athletic as hell. What a funny thing is, though, one of his first gimmicks was he was a Michael Jackson impersonator. Like, he did, like, a moonwalk and, like, would do all that stuff. I swear to God. Check it out.
Yeah. He put on a banger with Ricochet. That match was incredible. I mean, I don't know if you guys caught the match at Stand and Deliver, but, I mean, he made Bron Breakker look like a superstar with making himself look like a superstar as well. The guy is incredible in the ring.
All right, guys, within those 3 years, though, a lot of things have changed. We can go on and on about this. A lot of things. But do you remember Vince McMahon retired? Was it last year or a few months ago? I don't even know what year it was or what happened. But it was, what, a little hush money something, molesting? I don't know. Same billionaire, rich guys touching people they shouldn't touch. They get in trouble.
Jesus.
It's fired. I don't know. So Vince McMahon left. He has a tweet. He even tweeted, like, thank you now, then, forever, or whatever he said. But he left. Fast forward, during Mania this weekend, which we'll get into since that was a big week. That was the biggest weekend for us just to talk about coming up. But he sold the WWE, guys. That's pretty big news. Let's talk about that briefly before we talk about what happened at Mania. But during Mania, it was sold. Now, Mike, you're a bigger UFC fan than I am. I don't know, Cooter, if you know more about this too, but tell us a little bit about Endeavor. They purchased WWE. They also own the UFC. But this is a pretty big deal. I mean, it's the first time that WWE is not like family owned, if you will. It's owned by another company. Mike, I saw you commenting on a group or a part of Marks for Life that, you know, people are worried because they do things a little bit different. Mike, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think what UFC's on what, ESPN Plus or something like that? Or?
ESPN Plus, yeah, they're on the ESPN network. So Endeavor,
what do you think's going to happen with that? Yeah.
So Endeavor's owned by Ari Emanuel. I don't know if you guys ever seen the show Entourage. Remember their character Ari Gold?
Yeah. Oh, that's after him?
That's based off of Ari Emanuel. That's because before he had Endeavor, he was an agent just like that. But he owns Endeavor. I think the sale is a great sale. I mean, you got the UFC that's worth like $12.5 billion, and then you got the WWE, which is now worth $9-something billion. So that's a powerhouse. Everybody's concerned about Endeavor changing the pay-per-view format. You know, we're all comfortable with paying the $9.99 for Peacock, and with that, we get free premium live events. You know, we get our SummerSlams, our King of the Rings, you know, all our pay-per-views, WrestleManias. The way Endeavor does it is you can't find UFC on actual pay-per-view. They don't do pay-per-view anymore. You have to get an ESPN Plus subscription, which is, I believe, $10.99. And then on top of that, you get all this shows and everything like that. But if there's a big UFC event, you have to pay $75
what? Or more,
depending on who's fighting. That's how much UFC events cost. I haven't bought a UFC event in God knows how long because I'm not paying $75 to watch it. I'll go to somebody's house and I'll chip in, but there's no way. So, like, you have to pay the monthly subscription plus the pay-per-view price. So it's crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah.
So everybody's concerned that Endeavor is just going to try to change the format. Now, they can't because I found out that WWE has a contract with Peacock till 2026.
Yeah, three more
years.
So
they can't do anything. Yeah, they can't do anything right now. But once that contract expires, I mean, we don't know what they're going to do. I think I discussed it with you, Credo. I think the smartest thing for them to do is to create something kind of like an Endeavor network where you get your UFC and your WWE stuff. You get the best of both worlds. Me personally, if I'm going to get free UFC pay-per-views and free WWE pay-per-views for a monthly price, I'll pay $49.99 a month to get all that content because I'm a huge fan of both. I don't know how other marks feel, but I'm not going to pay $75 on top of a subscription fee. That's insane.
I think that's the thing too. I think with everybody out there, Cooter, you can tell me how you feel, but it's almost like since they came up with their own network, we're paying $9.99, right? So everybody's used to that $9.99. And then they sold that to Peacock, I think, which happened also within the 3 years that we were away or something, maybe. But even within that time, now Peacock was like $4.99. So that was even cheaper. And you're also getting like all of NBC shows on top of your semi. I think the WWE network was so much better. I feel like it had more content. I don't know if everything has moved over. It probably has. There's a lot of stuff on there. But you went from $9.99 to $4.99. There's no way.
You're paying $4.99 for Peacock?
Yeah. And then for them to... If that would happen,
your broke ass has the commercial plans. Oh, my bad. Sorry, bro.
I don't need to not pay for commercials.
Broke ass. Get the fuck out of here.
I have kids. Heath Slater, man.
Yeah, I need every minute I can get because I do watch a lot of the other stuff on Peacock. I'm not really worried about it right now because like you said, they can't really do shit about it for a couple of years. You're locked into these deals. And if it's going to be a wait and see game because it depends on the ratings of the product. If the product is really, really shitty, i.e. the way that some of you people are complaining that Vince is back in creative control and blah, 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 and the ratings drop, no one's paying monthly pay-per-view fees for this bullshit anymore. So I don't know what the fuck. You can't have it both ways. There's no way anybody's going back to that pay-per-view model when it comes to WWE when you're used to paying $9.99 or $4.99 if you're a broke ass like Credo.
And I feel like that would be just the biggest drop off because if all of a sudden I'm only paying $5 to get everything and now you want to charge me $75, sorry, I'll just go watch it on like the dark web or whatever and look it up and watch it for free the next day. But I feel like if you raise those prices on just everybody, I feel like they're going to just be like, screw you. I don't care.
You know
that
how
much.
I got screwed on that deal? Somebody sent me a link. You get Peacock for a year. It was like $20 for the year. I'm like, oh, great. Because I love Hulu. That's how I watch Raw, because I'd rather watch the 90-minute show on Hulu. Well, NBC pulled all their shit off of fucking Hulu. So, all right, $20 for the year. And then I'm like, ah, oh, commercials. I thought a premium plan meant you don't get commercials. No, it's premium plus. So then they soaked me for the extra $5 a month. So now I'm paying $5 a month, but I paid $20 up front for the year, Credo. So
let me ask you guys a question. Kind of a two-part question. How long, or do you think within the next couple months to a year, you're going to see some changes with the WWE at all with this new endeavor behind it? Or you think it's just going to be the same thing?
What's been happening, because I feel like they were kind of watching their purse, if you will, a little bit. I feel like they, so to speak, because I feel like they were trying to get their ducks in a row to sell. Right. So they wanted to make sure they were doing good or doing something, doing, you know, like to have a certain look for WWE to sell it. I honestly didn't think it would be sold over the weekend. I thought it would be like maybe a few weeks, a few months tops. But like over the weekend, I feel like that was crazy fast. So it's almost like they had something like that in the works. But I don't know. I mean, the changes is that they don't have to worry about selling. If this endeavor could make the UFC millions of more dollars than what it was making just on whatever they're doing, you know, I'm in hopes of that. They're going to have to change it up. Especially if down the line, they're going to charge people for stuff. Why would I pay for something that's garbage and where people are complaining online or on Twitter, fire Vince and whatever? Like, that's not kind of a reputation you want for your show that you're going to charge people. So I feel like they're going to have to, they can tune it up, spice it up right now. Braun panty matches, probably not. But, I mean, they got to do something, I think, because now they don't have to worry about not selling or going bankrupt or doing whatever. So I think they're in a good place now. And if Endeavor makes the money, I think, you know, why not change things up a little bit?
I think they're going to do a wait and see. They're going to see the inner workings of the company, who's in charge, how the ratings are. You know, it's they got to make sure everything's cost effective, because if you plan on scaling up and charging for something, you have to make sure it's watchable. And if the ratings are in the shitter, like I said before, nobody's paying $50. No one's paying more than what they're used to paying. And that's why I don't really worry about, you know, everybody complaining, oh, Vince is back in control. I don't even think he is in control. I think there are so many fucking crybabies out there who were so upset with Night 2 and Monday Night Raw. They're just looking for somebody to blame because Oliver Twist asked for more and didn't get it. Like, get the fuck out of here.
I mean, it's a good question, though, Mike. I mean, you know, it's something.
I also think that this deal, I mean, granted, it's a great deal, but I think it benefits the UFC more than the WWE. And this is my reason why. It's because the UFC is going to advertise on WWE time. And WWE fans are going to tune in and see that stuff. You know, I mean, WWE fans are going to watch. We have marks that think they're UFC experts and that all the time when Brock fights, stuff like that. I don't think MMA fans care about pro wrestling. I think they think it's a joke. That I know a lot of friends of mine that are just straight MMA fans that think pro wrestling is just the dumbest shit ever. They just won't give it a chance. So I feel like there's a lot of MMA fans that are just going to laugh at it, to be completely honest with you. So that's why I think it benefits the UFC more than it does the WWE.
I think WWE could be that gateway drug for the young audience. I mean, as a kid, you want to watch WWE because it's more entertaining. It's more like in your face. It's fast paced as compared to like a real fight, which could be either really fast or drawn out a little bit. But as a kid, you hook the kid into WWE, and then as they get older, oh, what's UFC? You know, it's almost like they graduate into the UFC world. So maybe they like putting commercials for UFC within WWE, promoting their events. I think it'll be a nice, you know, funnel for for kids watching, be like, oh, what's this? And they might make more fans for UFC out of the WWE audience than vice versa, what you said, because I don't think you're going to get a UFC fan to love fake fighting. You know what I mean? Like, you can't watch a real fight and then watch, like, you know, entertainments, right? So it could be a little gateway for both. I don't know. We'll see. But, okay. With that said, I mean, the sale happened. Let's see what happens. There's all things trending this week. But let's get back to what happened this weekend. Cooter, let's talk about, you know, we all had a little the week that was, right? We used to do. It was WrestleMania 39, fellas. So without going through the whole card, we used to talk about all the card and all the matches. But this is two nights. And my biggest thing I will tell you before we get into some of this is that I think it was on the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which was on SmackDown, not on the actual pay-per-view. But I was looking at it. If you look at the list of guys who are in that Rumble, it is a stack of names who had no creative or no storylines going into Mania. And every Mania, we'd always like, oh, who's going to get fired now? Who's going to let go, right? They always had like a period of, you know, releases. And they haven't had that during COVID, too. There was some people fired. Don't get me wrong here, but I feel like it was clockwork. Like, after Mania or right or whatever, there was, like, a whole laundry list of people they would just let go. But now, if they want to make money, Mike, especially on Endeavor, it's like, well, what if they look at these rosters and be like, there's too many. There's so many people. WWE and AEW, that's a whole other story. But there's a lot of people on these rosters, you know, to make it more, I don't know, efficient or whatever. I feel like if you just look at that Rumble match, there's a long, it's a huge list of guys who aren't doing anything right now. And it's amazing when you see some of those names, because it's just like, wow, why are we even holding on to these guys? You know, like, they're not on TV every week and we just don't have any stories for them. So I think it'll be interesting what Endeavor does and how they can maybe get rid of some of these guys or use some of these guys. So, but anyway, Cooter, tell us about WrestleMania 39. Maybe get us into that, what happened. What should we do? Maybe some your favorite match, honorable mention, curtain jerk, or what?
Sure, throw one out there. What was your favorite match, night one?
Night one. What do you think, Mike? What was your favorite match?
Two. I have a toss up between two matches, to be honest with you. Uh-huh. I mean, for me, if one edged out the other by this much, just a tad bit, was the Usos versus Zayn and Owens. But I can't take away from Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley.
Goddamn, this is crazy. We're agreeing again, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. They
it makes for a boring show.
They tore down the house, man. That they had me totally invested into the match. And I think that match was before the main event, too. Am I wrong?
I think it was right before, yeah.
Yeah, it was right before. So you had two bangers in a row.
And that usually does not happen, yeah.
No, they usually have a curtain jerker before to kind of calm the crowd down a little bit so they can bring them back up.
Yeah.
What about you, Credo? What'd you think?
Now, I'll tell you what. I mean, I thought the whole curtain jerker would have been the men's tag match, but the pace of it, it had a lot of spots. Everybody got something in. It was a fun match to watch. I mean, it wasn't like, because I hate it when they just throw guys together as a tag team. Like, oh, these two guys are going to be working with each other. Like, you know, Braun and Ricochet. It's like, okay, that doesn't make sense. But I feel like all these guys worked well together. They weren't even fighting for the titles because all those titles were on the Usos.
True.
So you had tag teams that can't even fight for tag team championships in WWE for months now. And they put these guys together, and I think it was everything you could want in a Mania match, everything you could want in, like, a tag team tornado, whatever kind of match it was. It was just entertaining. I mean, like, everybody had a spot. It was fun. I can't think of anything else. I mean, a lot of people shined during that moment that they gave them. So,
yeah.
And that whole night, though, was, I don't know.
It's tough to pick a match of the night, because I don't think there was a match outside of my curtain jerker that I did not enjoy, which is John Cena and Austin Theory. That match was the drizzling fucking shits. I don't care who you are. The only entertaining part of that match was seeing that bald fucking spot on the top of John Cena's head
Poor Cena.
That was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen, which is funny coming from somebody who's balding like me. I get it. But shit, I am at least still got something there, you know. God damn.
Yeah, it was pretty much, I think, a draw for, like, oh, Cena starts it, gets people into Mania, you know, just it's kind of like the just showing him up, just having him show up and fight him. And, you know, I guess you can call it maybe like a passing of the torch. Theory has been beating a lot of top names lately, and they really like him. Ever since before Vince got fired, you know, he was like Vince's golden child leading up in the months up to Mania. So it's like Triple H took over for that, and, you know, they're still booking him strong, I guess. So
let's throw some honorable mentions out there. Well, go ahead.
Cooter doesn't like Theory.
I'm not sold on him yet. I want to give him some time. It's not that I don't like him. I don't like the storylines that he's been put into. You know, I don't like, I'm the guy who doesn't like seeing people pushed too fast, too soon. And he's been on the main roster for what, maybe less than a year at this point? Maybe a year?
No, more than that.
It's about, yeah, a little over a year. But
he was actually, a lot of people don't remember this, but he was actually on that WrestleMania card that was in the empty arena. At the Performance Center, he was in a 6-man tag match.
That's right, he was. No, you're not wrong. That's great.
He was he was a part of Seth Rollins' little stable. Remember that too?
Yeah.
And Buddy Murphy. Yeah. I think Austin Theory is going to be a big deal in the next couple of years. Right now is not his time. I mean, granted, I like Austin Theory. I think within a couple of years, he will be holding that heavyweight title.
Yeah. A little more organic, a little less forced, I guess, for him. You know, it's where, yes, we know you love him. You want him to do whatever, but, like, slow it down a little bit. He can still do a lot and work his way up, and there's no need to push him into anything else besides a mid-card championship. So
let's throw an honorable mention out there, too. I mean, Jesus Christ, Logan Paul and Seth Rollins. That was pretty goddamn entertaining. And I hate to be the guy, but Logan Paul surprises me every fucking time he gets in that goddamn ring. It just shocks me that he is that good and works that hard. So kudos to him. And one more thing, and then I'll shut the fuck up. Entrances of the night are going to Eddie's son there, Dominic.
Yes.
And Rey Mysterio. Those are two of the best entrances I think I've ever seen at WrestleMania for both of them. So night one, it's just, there's just something to watch for everybody. It was the most entertaining show I think I've seen in a long time.
I love how Dom took that ex-con Dom character to another level.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys watched the video when you got arrested, right?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Okay. It's hilarious because he's in the car and he's saying, he's like, Mommy, I can't make it in jail. Like, he's like,
yes. Yes.
I ain't going to make it in jail. And all of a sudden he comes out, he would spend like not even 24 hours, and all of a sudden he's like this ex-con, like in the Vato Locos gang or some shit.
He's got fucking prison tats all over him.
Yeah, he's got the teardrop tattoo. It's hilarious.
Oh, I love it. I mean, as much as I didn't really care for him last year, I think tagging with your father at WrestleMania last year to going against your father this year after he's being inducted to the Hall of Fame, I love it. I think it's good. I think he's going to grow. Granted, I think there's a little nepotism going on since he's his dad. His dad kind of got him in there. I've been saying for a while that I thought he should be in NXT to work on a lot of stuff, but
I agree.
I'm okay with what he's doing now. I feel like he's finding some footsteps, but, you know, there's always room to improve. But no,
I just wish he had a more manly voice. He has such a little child's fucking voice. It drives me insane. But I can't help but love it. Normally, that's not something that I find entertaining. But with him, it works.
Yeah. And before we get to night two, I think the only thing, because I was really looking for something to nitpick, just night one, there wasn't really anything. And I think the only thing I want to talk about, I'm curious if you guys agree or not, but the only thing that bothered me was the women's tag belts should not have been on Lita and Becky Lynch. They should have been on night two during the tag match.
Why?
Because it was a 3-on-3 match, and you don't need tag team championships fighting for that. So when the girls on night two was actually a women's tag match, they could actually use that in the tag match. And I thought Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler could do something with that and hopefully form a, their own little thing going on down there, because Ronda was pushed. She's a big name. She, you know, she's a big name. She's main evented. You know, she's not the best wrestler in the world, but she has that name. She has that star power.
They're not the best. She fucking sucks. You know why? Because the last 6 months, all that bitch has done is phone it in. I'm sick of fucking Ronda Rousey. Get her off my fucking TV and put somebody who actually gives a damn about the business in the fucking ring.
But I'm just saying, out of everything that happened, I feel like the tag belts didn't even be, wasn't even needed for the damage control 3-on-3 match. That could have just been a match. And that was it. That's the only thing I really thought nitpicked it. But coming into night two, Cooter, that's where really the magic started to unravel. And, you know, there was a lot of bad luck. There was a lot of stuff happening on that. You know, Shane McMahon returns, breaks his or busts his quad, tears his quad like his dad did many years ago. You know, you had Finn Balor getting busted open by the ladder during his match. It looked like they were going to have to stop it. So there's some bad luck happening on that night. It didn't have the same magic, I didn't think, as the first night.
Things having the same magic. That night was fucking beautiful for me.
Night two?
Yes. And not necessarily when it comes to in-ring work, but in storytelling, it buried night one.
Why is that?
What do you mean, why is that?
How in storytelling did night two bury night one?
Do you really want to get into the Cody argument now, or do you want to wait a minute? Let's talk about these fucking matches, and then I'll destroy you.
Cooter's been waiting for this one. I've been waiting
for months.
Okay, all right. So then tell us, what did you think?
Waiting for months. WrestleMania was Saturday.
No, I've been waiting for months to do this shit, goddammit.
Okay.
Match of the night in night two.
Yes.
No one's going to disagree. It was the IC title match. Those three men put on a classic. It was probably the greatest IC title match in the history of WrestleMania. I put that up against Flair. I put that up against Savage and Steamboat. Better.
Did you guys read the stats on that match?
No.
How many chest slaps there were? Like, I got to find it and send it to you guys. Somebody actually
counted. Back,
watched the match and counted how many chest slaps were received. How many chest slaps were given? Like, who got the most chest slaps in? How many exchanges? It's crazy how these fans do this stuff. I'll send it to you guys.
So, am I wrong to say that I love the match?
I thought it was amazing.
But I feel like I liked the Gunther Sheamus fight that they had at a Clash at the Castle maybe better. I don't know. That was another good match. Sheamus got a standing ovation out there too. It was similar. Just
better storytelling. That match told a great story, because now you have it set up with McIntyre and Sheamus, because the way Sheamus looks at McIntyre after Sheamus pulls him out of the ring just sets up another great feud. And McIntyre, I'm sorry, loudest chops of the night. His chops were way louder than Walter's. At one point, I was like, oh, shit, Walter's getting told, is getting shown how to do this properly.
I could watch. I'm sorry to cut you off. But I could watch Sheamus and McIntyre wrestle every week.
Absolutely.
Those guys go in there and they beat the shit out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
It works every week. And those are two guys that I could watch numerous times.
I was going to say, you brought up Drew McIntyre too, is because he's one of the names after Mania who, like, tweeted something about leaving. So he's one name I'm going to bring up. The other name I'm going to bring up is Bailey. We'll talk about that later. But I mean, there's a few names that hinted on their Twitter that they want to leave. Asuka is another one. A lot of names have been brought up of people that are just either unhappy now over there. So you said that he's one of the names that came up with Bailey and Asuka that could be on their way out. So I don't know. I mean, Asuka, I think Cooter, I think I talked to you. I don't know who I mentioned, but I was like, Asuka's 0-5 Isn't that crazy?
I also feel like that's a bigger snub, her not winning the belt with the year that she had, more than Cody not winning the belt.
I mean, last year was it that Becky won, or not, Bianca won it and then lost it to right away, right? Lost it to Becky or something like that?
I'd say that's how it happened, something along those lines, yeah.
But it's like, Asuka
won it and lost it. I don't remember that.
And Bianca's held the belts, I think, for a year now, or something like that. Like when she won it, or I don't know what, whatever. When she won it, she's held it for a long time. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would not see anything wrong with Bianca losing to the new improved Dark Asuka. Like, I feel like it's a shame for her not to win. Like,
everybody has a stats, yeah, right? Everybody has a problem with the way they build up Asuka to be this monster every year. They do it every year just to pull the rug out from underneath her. That's somebody I feel terrible for. And it's nothing against Bianca, because I think she's talented, she's athletic, she's a great draw. The fans like her. At the same time, she hasn't had the matches this year that Asuka's had. I think when you talk about moments, Asuka killing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame. I couldn't believe that stat, because I was like, no, I think she won in that Mania. But no, yeah, 0-5 at Mania. And granted, I get it. But at the same time, like, she's proven herself as a loyal, you know, superstar there for them for many years, from NXT to now. Not giving her a Mania win, what's up with that? What's up with that, right? So it's kind of weird. I mean, so night two, I mean, we saw Shane McMahon. I mentioned that really quick, too. He left. He something happened. Was it last year that he booked something with him in the Rumble as being one of the final four?
Correct.
And then something happened with that. Oh, he's never going to work here again. I don't know. We don't know the whole story, right? It's all dirt sheet stuff. But now he comes out, busts his quad, and then Snoop Dogg has to improv a people's elbow. And I give it up to Snoop Dogg, because I mean, he didn't plan that. He didn't know what.
Why
he
do you think he's
do.
A Hall of Famer, bro? He came up with that on the fly. Good for him. That's awesome.
He took the opportunity. He was like, "Fuck yeah. this! I'm getting a WrestleMania moment now."
Snoop Dogg has more wins at WrestleMania than his cousin. what he does?
Sasha.
Yeah, I think that's Sasha Banks. So that's another one. But so Snoop Dogg had it. Okay, so things fell apart though. Finn Balor split his head open with Edge throwing the ladder at him. That match almost had to stop, but they kind of saved it. I mean, they
did. You guys enjoy that?
I enjoyed it, but I think it could have been a lot better before he got his head split open. I feel like they had to do some you know, okay. I think they had to stop some of the stuff that maybe they were gonna do, but it was okay. I don't think it needs to be a Hell in a Cell. That could have just been a regular cage match, man. Like, just bring back a regular cage, you know? Like, we don't need this huge structure for just to say it's at Mania. But I don't know. I'm a fan of the Demon. I love the body paint. I've said it many times on the show. Like, I love him doing that kind of a character at pay-per-views. Doesn't have to be on every Raw. Like, save that for the pay-per-view. So I was kind of happy that he brought that character back. It's kind of too showy. I feel like they're not letting him do everything he wants to with that. And I don't know. I'd like seeing the Demon. It was fun. Another Edge match.
I just can't stand how the WWE markets the Demon. Like, I loved it in NXT where it was just they marketed Finn Balor. Like, you knew as a fan the Demon was coming, but they didn't promote it like that.
Yeah.
And now the WWE has to call it, like, it's Finn Balor. Now it's the Demon Finn Balor is coming. I thought that match didn't live up to expectation, in my opinion. I thought it was a good match. Those guys went out there and did the best they could. I just didn't think it lived up to a Hell in a Cell match. I understood what they were doing, where you have the Demon versus the Devil in Hell. I get the concept. I 100% get it. I just, you know, and maybe it was the headshot that happened that kind of put a damper on a lot of things. I mean, if you guys saw that picture of the cut, right?
Yeah, that's nasty.
That thing was nasty. I'm surprised that they let him continue. And I give him credit for continuing after that. But I think that probably had to play a factor in it. I just didn't think it lived up to the potential of, like, the end of all matches. Like you know, like the climax of the feud.
And that's two years in a row. I mean, look at Edge last year with AJ Styles. That's another one, dream match everybody was looking forward to. That was last year, right? Edge, AJ Styles. Another match that, you know, dream match. We all wanted to see it and didn't really live up to the hype. It's just one of those things, man. No. It might be time for old man Edge to hang it up. I mean, it's bad when the guy who was your underling, like Christian, is having better matches than you in the minor leagues.
There you go. I mean, I will give it up for him for, you know, coming out of retirement. That also happened during kind of like when we ended it. He came back at that Royal Rumble, and he was going to have his first WrestleMania match that year that we stopped the show. And then COVID happened, and he had that whole thing with Randy Orton backstage, like, you know, whatever kind of a match. So
fucking terrible. Ugh.
For a guy to come back at an awesome shot, an awesome, you know, return at the Royal Rumble, and then for to have like a shitty WrestleMania during COVID kind of a thing sucked for him. So I'm glad that he's at least getting some matches in, and then he could ride off into the sunset. But, you know, for being retired for how many years and then coming back. So good for Edge, but... Cooter, I think we just got to talk about it. Let's talk about it. You know, the main event. Now, I think we'll all be talking about this. But, I mean, the main event, they built it up a little bit. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship. My biggest gripe with this is that...
You didn't get what you wanted. We know.
is that... Both of the belts are on Roman Reigns. You know, I would wish that, like, they could have just, you know, Monday night, they could have been like, you know, I've held these belts, so he can unify it, bring back the Undisputed Championship, and then let Raw and SmackDown have their main guy titles. Because at a point a few months ago, they have no main titles on the show, so they're trying to build up the United States Championship and the IC Championship as, like, really big deals, which...
And look what those titles are doing for the younger talent. Look what it does for an Austin Theory.
Main eventers have nothing. Look what that
does.
It doesn't matter about the mid-carders. This is the main eventers. You had guys like Kevin Owens walking around doing nothing for how long?
And what did that build-up do for those titles?
But these guys have nothing to fight for, and you have it on Roman Reigns for 3 years now or whatever it's been.
He defended it the last 3 months in a row. What the fuck are you talking about?
The two belts, though.
He defended them... 3 months in a row. What's the problem?
Give him one belt because every show needs their own fucking title. You have main eventers that don't have anything to fight for. What are they fucking fighting for?
Credo, we grew up in the main eventers. We grew up in the 80s when Hulk Hogan was champion and he wrestled once every 3 fucking months, and you're complaining about somebody.
That's a
literally...
different time, different world. No, that's like when they were going to show every week,
same
week,
fucking
three times
thing.
A week.
Here's
it wasn't
here's,
the same thing. There was like one show a week. Thing.
No, you had multiple shows a week. You had Superstars. You had Challenge. Don't challenge me, goddammit.
Yeah, they still have main events and everything else, but Roman Reigns isn't on any of that. Like, each show needs their title. So my biggest gripe with this is that it's not that Cody didn't win. It's that they have no end game for this championship thing, to where in the perfect world, I would say just make him the unified title champion, and then he can keep that and give these shows their own belts back kind of a thing. My biggest
then it's
thing
not
is
undisputed
that,
champion.
But it's not that Cody lost. It's almost like... I thought Cody at this time was the perfect one to get it off of him so that they can get back their titles.
That's what I don't understand. Why is it that it has to be Cody?
It's not that it has to be Cody. It's just that this was a perfect time at WrestleMania to do something like this. Like, don't do it on Payback or don't do it on Backlash or some B pay-per-view. This is your end-all, be-all, WrestleMania. What better place than now? What better time than here, right? So, it replaced Cody Rhodes with another great main event person, anybody, and, like, that would have been the place to get it off him, I think, especially when the Usos lost, and then you have him losing. It could have been a whole, like, fall of the Roman Empire or whatever. And I you know.
All right, I'm going to say it like this. Cologne, I want to get Cologne's take on this, because I know me and Credo will fight about this until we're blue in the face. Is it
wrong?
Well,
you're going to say that Cody did nothing. Cody
he didn't do anything. He did nothing.
Cody has been in the WWE.
Cody has not earned a title. He has not earned the right to be a champion in that fucking company.
And
I don't care what
Mahal can. Jinder Mahal could just be a WWE champion.
You want to know why Jinder Mahal deserved it and Cody Rhodes doesn't?
Because
Jinder Mahal stuck through terrible booking for years. The way that Roman Reigns
10,
shut up
10 years like, he was there with a mustache
years.
As Stardust
and he had
Cody Rhodes
great and he
Dashing
had
Cody
great
Rhodes.
He had great gimmicks. Those were great gimmicks
and he had IC championships maybe some
so
tag
he,
titles
he got, so
Legacy.
He cried because they gave him a little Stardust gimmick and he had to leave, so he left And you know what? He became a great superstar. Great. You earned your way into a WrestleMania main event. Why is that not good enough for some of these marks? You were at the main event of the biggest show of the year, so you didn't win the title. You were back for a month, what, for 3 months with no build-up for that fucking match when they should have gave that to Sami Zayn. If it was Sami Zayn, I'd be all for it. This is about storytelling. This isn't about a fucking, oh my God, Cody didn't get the fucking belt.
But that's it. I never said it was about Cody. To me, it's about the belts getting off of Roman so they can go back to their homes and go back to main eventers. You know, it's not just about Cody losing. Cody losing, I think, is right because he came back last year, was out within a month at the next pay-per-view with the whole torn pec thing, yes, out the whole year, came back at Rumble. And then, yeah, hasn't really had matches to define being the champion right there, then and there. But to me, it's not about Cody. To me, it's just about the damn belts to split them. It's just silly to me.
This is a great, it's a great opportunity for him losing to build for next year. Because look what you're already doing. Look what you're already doing. Because,
but two titles, get those, like, two of them. Like, what are these guys going to fight for the next year, you know? Like, I wish they would just say something that they could just join them together. That's the biggest thing for me that bothers me about this. And like I said, replace Cody with anybody else. To me, it's about holding two championships hostage, if you will, of, like I said, give them the Undisputed one. It's just, I don't know. I need these guys to have another title on the main shows to fight for.
Colon, I need you to chime in here.
I see both arguments. Just so you guys know, I understand Credo and I understand Cooter completely. My whole thing, I was invested in Sami Zayn. I was invested in that storyline with the Bloodline. You gave me Sami Zayn at the Elimination Chamber. I accepted that because it was his hometown. I understand why they did that. They had to sell tickets, and it was the right thing to do at the moment because it was in his hometown. Then you took that away from me, you know, because I really wanted Sami Zayn to have his moment at WrestleMania, and you gave me Cody Rhodes. And I accepted it. I was okay with that. Give me something to believe in. And not for nothing, I did enjoy the buildup of Cody Rhodes and Roman, because the one thing I like is these guys, you noticed throughout the entire buildup, these guys never touched. There was no freaking brawls, no throwing punches. And Paul Heyman is the MVP of that buildup, with those promos about Cody's dad and all that stuff. And I give credit to Cody, too, because Cody held up his end of it. And so did Roman. Roman cut the promo about how when things go bad for Cody, Cody runs away. I don't know if you guys saw that promo. When Cody was in a bad gimmick, he ran away. When he went to AEW and he wasn't getting booked properly, he ran away.
Absolutely.
When he came back, he got injured, he ran away. He didn't really run away. He had to go away. But so, like, you had me believing in the Cody. I'm like, I am now invested into this guy as a challenger. Go to WrestleMania, and I absolutely loved the entrances. Everybody was complaining that both guys' entrances were too long. I loved it because it was Mania. And
it's main event. Nice main event entrance, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like a big fight feeling. It was actually nice to see Cody go ringside to pick up his daughter before the match, like that. I thought that was cool. And then Roman with the pianos, like, I thought that was great. I'm going to be honest with you. I was on the Cody bandwagon for that match. I was fully invested into that match, completely. But when the outcome came with Roman, I was okay with that because Roman is on God level. He is the guy who's holding the belts right now. He is the believable champion, in my opinion. Although I don't want to take any credit from Cody. I think Cody one day will be champion. I think he'll be great. And I would have been okay with it if he won, but I am okay with the fact that Roman did it. It shocked the hell out of me because writing was on the wall that Cody was going to win. I believed that they were going to give it to Cody because I was also hearing stuff that Roman was taking time off, all this stuff, whether that was fake news or real. I was automatically on the Cody bandwagon. I invested in that match. I loved that match. That was by far, besides the Intercontinental title match, I was entertained by that match.
Absolutely.
But with Cody not winning, too, I also think that gives more sympathy for Cody. I think people are going to get behind him more. I think people want to see him finish the story. And I remember the press conference where Triple H was just like, I don't know why he keeps saying finishing the story. That's just a chapter of the story. The story isn't ending just yet. And I agree with that comment. I don't think his story ends at all. I think it just continues.
Well, two things on that really quick is that when you say it's just a chapter in it, like for me, WrestleMania is the end of the book. Throw it away. Next chapter starts at Raw. And for the championship match for him, I honestly don't mind that he lost as a more than I wish they would just do something about the unification of their championships right now. I don't want him to hold those two belts for the next year and doing that. So I hope they do something with that. But Sam, going back to Sami Zayn really quick, you know, yes, when something like that organically happens and everybody, the crowds love it, you need to scrap your plans. Having your plans set is great because you don't know what's going to happen. But when something like that happens, you need to change those plans. If Sammy fought Roman at Mania and won, that would have been a moment, right? Even if he just did it for one of the championships, the Universal Championship, whatever, right? Just beating him there, that would have been a nice close to their book. Seeing him doing it at his hometown and lose, I get it, whatever. But I think go back to like when Batista, I think he won the Rumble, and then everybody was about Daniel Bryan. And then how Daniel Bryan, the whole Yes movement, put him into the main event at Mania. I would have put maybe if you're really so gung-ho with Cody Rhodes, put Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, triple threat or whatever. And I feel like, not that the fans weren't behind it, but I don't think it was as crazy as it was with Daniel Bryan about the whole Yes movement thing, because he was just getting, like, I think it was on the same level, but I think it was almost like Vince or Triple H are like, fuck this, we're not listening to, we already got our plans, this is what we're doing, right?
I think you got two different situations. I think that because you had somebody who's as loved as Sammy and as loved as Cody, they're not willing to split hairs. The difference was they loved Daniel Bryan, but they hated Batista. So yeah. When you have that much of a, you know, a polar opposite, you're going to get that reaction from the crowd.
Yeah.
Let me get my Cody Rhodes hate out. And it's not that I'm hating on Cody, because I'm not. I'm hating on the fucking fans who are whining that he deserves it. And these are the same fucking assholes on the internet who were crying and pissing on him and shitting on him while he was in AEW. It's the same motherfuckers in that group who are like, why didn't they put the belt on him? You were a year and a half ago shitting on him hard. Okay? It's the same people. And if I could call you out by name on here, I fucking would. But you're a bunch of goddamn lying, fucking backstabbing marks, and I can't stand you. And I guarantee you, had they put the belt on him within a month and a half, 2 months, they'd be saying what I said. He didn't do anything to deserve it. He's stale. They should have never took it off of Roman. They just put the belt on him too soon. Same fucking bullshit. In this case, Credo, here's where you might get a chance to separate those titles. Because now you have two people who are in line. You're going to build up a Cody Rhodes. You're already putting him up against Brock Lesnar. What better way to build somebody up to make him put him on that God level? I beat the same people that you beat. You let him run through a Jey Uso. Let him run through a Brock Lesnar. Let him run through a Logan Paul. Whatever you got to do. But you still got that trump card. You still got Sami Zayn. What if one of them wins the Rumble and one of them wins Money in the Bank? You're going to have next year, I guarantee you. You're going to have two title matches, and it'll be Roman Reigns defending both of them, and he'll lose them both. And I think that's the way to do it.
I agree with that. And I think the reason why they didn't do a triple threat, and I would have been all for the triple threat too, but I think the WWE put so much behind Cody that if Sami Zayn got injected into the match, the fans are just going to completely gravitate towards Sami and hijack it. Exactly. Like it happened with Daniel Bryan. Like, remember, was it two years ago when Edge won the Rumble? Right, the fans were so much behind Edge, and then that WrestleMania match, Daniel Bryan got injected into it, and the fans were behind Daniel Bryan more than Edge. So Edge had to turn heel. Edge turned heel for that match.
That's right. Yeah.
And that, I think that same thing would have happened with Cody, where the fans would have just been so much behind Sami Zayn, it would have took away from Cody. And if Cody would have turned heel, I think that his whole momentum would have been blown, and I don't think he had a shot of any future.
Can I throw a question out here when it comes to Cody?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we can argue over his gimmicks over the 10 years that he was with the company before he left for the indie scene, right? And he had some good ones and he had some stinkers. His best work on the indies was when he was a heel. Not to say that he's not a good face and that he doesn't cut a great promo, but if that's what got you this big contract and helped build another company, you working as this, you know, awesome heel, why are we doing the exact opposite of what brought you to the dance? Why are we doing the opposite of what brought you back to the company? Do you think that him turning heel and becoming champion is better?
I think what happened before is that, and this kind of happened with a few other guys, is that they don't want to be known as Dusty Rhodes' son. They don't want to be known as Mr. Perfect's son. They want to do, you know, so I think at that time, he, you know, he's living in the shadow of Dusty Rhodes, right? So, like, I think he was trying to find his own feet, but now coming back to it, it's like now he wants to be Dusty Rhodes' son, you know what I mean? Because
that's having that dollars, exactly.
I know, having that name, now they have that legacy back in their under their name, and you know, they can relate all the stories back to that, and so on and so forth. So I think that's the one thing, is like, you know, some of these guys when they came in, they didn't really want to be their dad's son, like Bron Breakker. Like, I would totally be using Rex Steiner as a name than Bron Breakker. But not after what happened this weekend.
Not no more.
Should have did it while you could, man. Now forget about it. But yeah, I think that's one thing. Just him just coming back of getting to that. I'm kind of going off track though. What you said though, if maybe Mike has a better response.
I think the only reason why they pushed him as a babyface was because they need babyfaces. They need that clean cut American bred babyface. Because, I mean, if you look at the roster, there's not really many baby faces. And Cody kind of came in hot. So they kind of just took the ball and ran with it. And then the Dusty card, basically. It's Dusty's son. Everybody loves Dusty. So they're just kind of milking it right now. But I know I agree with you, Cooter, though. He did have some great heel work. And him in Ring of Honor as the heel champion, that was great stuff.
So, okay, you want to book this all the way out till next Mania. For me, I don't want to wait that long. Like, could we do it?
We have no patience.
Could we do it though within this calendar year? I mean, the biggest four: Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Can we make SummerSlam a big event, a big deal?
Do you see why I can't deal with him, Mike?
What? Well, I want to get the championship back. Because
you changed your mind just 2 seconds ago. You know, WrestleMania was the end all be all, and now you can't wait for next year. You're building a story. The story was this year. Cody had a great return, right? He won the Rumble, you know, in the 30 spot, and he came up this short. Okay, that's the story.
But does that have to now last the whole other year? It's a long time from now until then. I'd rather just have like another big
pay-per-view. I know what you'd rather, but that's not a money draw, and that's not how you build a character, and that's not how you tell a story. I think we got spoiled in the 90s. I think we got spoiled in the Attitude Era, where we constantly got to see something new and somebody different holding the belt every 2 months. You know, titles were changing left and right, and we had 50 of them. You know, we had European title. We had the hardcore title. Everybody had a fucking belt, and everybody was changing it around. It was interchangeable. You know, it was like a fucking set of action figures on your goddamn bedroom floor. You know what I mean? Mm. And now it's nice to see that they slowed it down. I just think it's weird how people are like, hey, man, the belt hasn't changed. But then when the belt starts changing at a little bit different pace, they're like, hey, man, you guys are moving the product too fast. I can't really fucking keep up. Shut the fuck up. God damn it. Just watch and enjoy.
Angry Cooter shirts now available on Pro Wrestling Tees. You can find them on all over the other store that we have. I forget the damn store name, but
Redbubble. Yes.
I will say this. SummerSlam is at Ford Field this year. In a football stadium.
Oh shit! Detroit.
So they're making SummerSlam kind of a big deal because it's in a big stadium. So I don't know. I personally, if Roman's going to drop the titles, I would like to see him drop it at a Mania. That give him another year with those titles, because for me, it's believable. Like I said, I'm going to sound like a broken record. He is the believable champion right now. He is doing the work. He's putting it in. I mean, he is the head of the table, and that gimmick, he's making it believable for me. And it hasn't been stale. It's been 3 years, and that gimmick to me isn't stale.
Well, okay, guys, we've been talking about this. We came back on a 3-year hiatus or whatever. We talked some wrestling. We talked some Rumble. We talked some Mania. We talked whatever, right? I want a prediction. Cooter, Mike, tell me this time next year, or no, don't even tell me this time next year. How do you predict, or what do you want to see happening with the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship? Maybe what do you want to happen and what do you think is going to happen? Putting you on the spot. Is there something you think from now till next Mania, now till SummerSlam? What do you see happening? Because for me, I want to see a title back on each show. You know what I mean? I'll give you my little take of what I would want to see next year, but really quick, well, how would you want to see this happen? Because for me now, even after the tag team championships are won by Kevin Owens and Sammy, they're holding two belts each, like split them up, right? Are we unifying it as one, or are we getting rid of them? Like, what do you guys want to see? What do you predict is going to happen with the Universal or WWE championships?
Go ahead, Mike.
You want to go first? Okay, I'll go first. I don't see anything happening. I think they stay on Roman. I think they're in a situation right now where I know Triple H wants to take one of the belts off of them, but they're in this situation right now where you can't, because I mean, then that just discredits the character. I think in this time period going forward, I think Roman still has the belts. I think that IC title, that they're doing a great job. That becomes once again, finally the workhorse title. But that's going to be viewed as a world title, even though it's not. The United States title is going to get more exposure too. I just think it's going to be the same up until Mania. They come Mania. I think the next Mania, I think it will be time for Roman to drop it to who? Maybe they build Cody back up next year. Other than that, I don't have anybody else that will dethrone Roman, except for maybe Sami Zayn.
I like my idea. I literally like the idea of him wrestling twice, one against the Royal Rumble winner and one against the Money in the Bank winner. That's how you split up those titles. And it's at the same time, it's a great way of protecting Roman's character, because nobody else has to wrestle twice on that weekend, and you're having two high-profile matches. It protects the character. And for my second prediction, Credo will be really, really upset, because Nakamura will be on a WrestleMania card 2 years in a row.
Nakamura and AJ Styles weren't on the card this year. Crazy.
I got a question for you, Cooter.
Uh-huh.
That since you want him to wrestle twice, right?
Yes.
So, night one, you have Roman lose.
Ooh.
Would you save that for night two?
You know, I have multiple visions going through my head. I think if you somehow screw him in night one, it makes him losing clean on night two believable, because you're in his head. If you see a screw job where something happens to him the way it always happens, the way he does it, where one of his boys comes in and saves his ass or something along those lines, you know what I mean?
I get that. If he's going to wrestle twice, honestly, I would have him win night one.
Yeah.
And then lose it, drop it on night two.
I totally agree.
Because of the fact that, like, you have him lose on night one, you know, it kind of takes away from the special moment on night two for me.
So I alluded to this. I mentioned it on our Marks for Life group on Facebook. Our good friend Jesse Malloy posted something about what would you do? How would you book it from here on out? Can't change anything. This is what I said today. I said first, and I think I mentioned it earlier, but just to get into the whole story, if I'm controlling it from here on out, I'd give him the Undisputed title. I would have him hold on to that and then have him relinquish the WWE and Universal titles. The King of the Ring tournament could crown a new Universal champion for SmackDown or whatever. And then the WWE championship could be on the line at Money in the Bank. No briefcase. It's what you win is the actual title. Roman holds and defends his undisputed title till next Mania. Rock gets in the Rumble. Rock challenges, wins it. Rock challenges Roman at WrestleMania 40. Rock wins the Undisputed Championship, holds on to that for a few months, and then loses it at SummerSlam in like a triple threat or whatever, something like that.
But the guy hates the guy who hates titles wants more titles.
Now he wants more titles.
I can't with this fucking guy. I'm out of here.
Well, so I feel like a Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, these part-time guys who rightfully deserve it, should have like.
Why can't we have a part-time title?
Undisputed champion. Like, make him have an undisputed champion. But I don't know. As you can see, I just want the damn title split, guys. That's all I really want. I just want them to go on their own shows because, like, guys like Kevin Owens, man, sitting around doing nothing, doing tag team stuff. I know he's a tag team champion now, but there's, like, other guys, a lot of other guys I can name. I just don't want to get into it right now. But
it sounds like you want to have as many titles as AEW does.
Oh my God. AEW has a lot of talent. That's what I'm saying. They have like a stable for every character. Every team has like more than five guys in it. I can't right now with that.
I figure Cooter would like that one.
Well, I mean, I do have a couple of fan questions. I already asked one to Credo.
Fan questions, all right.
Yeah, Mike Shapiro wants to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how upset are you Nakamura was not on the card?
10. I'm very upset. I think, he just fought the Great Muta somewhere in Japan, you know, home country. And for him not to have a match or come back, like, that's, it's a shame. I want to see the old Nakamura back with the whole guitar and everything. So, okay. I'm very upset, Mike. Very upset.
And this one was for Mike from Jacob. How can you consider Danielson turning heel when he's doing nothing but speaking the truth and Kenny is the problem with professional wrestling?
I don't like that at all.
You don't like that at all.
I don't like Daniel Bryan being the heel. I don't. I think that's bad booking.
Bad booking.
Wow. For somebody who loved him with his little eco title when he was heel, I'm very surprised to hear you say that.
It's a different kind of heel, I think. And we can get on AEW real quick. We can make it brief because I do have a question for you guys.
Okay.
When it comes to, like, they have excellent talent. I think they just have everything flip-flopped right now. It's weird. It's like Adam Cole's a babyface. Kenny Omega's a babyface. Daniel Bryan, John Moxley, Claudio, they're all heels now, which that happened abruptly. I blinked, and all of a sudden these guys turned heel. I do not know how that happened. I don't know what's going on over there. And granted, they have amazing talent. I don't know if you guys caught it, but if you do, that match with Kenny Omega and that guy from AAA, like, it was a spot fest.
Yeah.
Which I know you don't like spot fests, but sometimes I can appreciate a good spot fest.
Oh, sure.
That match was, I apologize, I forgot the guy's name, but I never knew who this guy was until I watched him wrestle Kenny Omega, and that shit was nuts. But I just don't like how they're booking things right now. I think they just have everything ass backwards, in my opinion. But I got a question for you guys.
Yep.
Real quick. So AEW, they made that announcement that they are going to be doing All In at Wembley Stadium in London. Yeah. Let me ask you guys this question. Do you think they sell out that stadium?
Man, WWE has that name. AEW over there, I mean, I think any wrestling fan would want to go. I don't think there's been another wrestling show since SummerSlam 92 out in Wembley Stadium. So,
no.
He's going to say no. I don't know. I think it's tough. I mean, I think, they don't get as many shows as we get all the time. So, I think, like, just having a show, I think the whole world, their whole towns, their whole cities are going to come out for it. I'll say yes, only because they're not as used to it as we are. And, like, when something comes like that, they're going to go. But they cannot book all their, like, C-level talent. That show needs to be stacked with, like, top talent, one-on-one matches, not their whole, like, stable of 15 people or whatever, no Dark Order and all that crap, like, regular superstars, like, on that card, so.
Credo, you and I are finally going to agree on something tonight.
What's that?
But they will not sell out that stadium for that fact. You know why? Because those fucking idiots over there cannot help themselves. When the best booked program you had all year was Christian Cage and Jungle Boy. Don't talk to me about your company, because that is literally the best story they had all year.
Yeah.
Outside MJF's fucking, you know, Mark, you know, what do you call it? His wannabe pipe bomb, you know?
Guys, you know, I think we just scratched the reunion surface, the comeback, the one night only, the one night stand for AWP. I don't know. Maybe we'll bring it back. Maybe we'll change it up. Maybe we'll do something like this again. But I don't know. What do you think, guys? Final word. Is there anything that we didn't mention that you just want to bring out one last time before we get out of here?
I think I got out everything. I mean,
you got it. You know, you got to 3 years.
It's been a while. So it's like, you know,
I know.
To get the cobwebs out. You know, I'm trying to think of
is ring so rust.
There's so much stuff from our last episode to today that we could talk about, and I can't remember everything. I just honestly, guys, I didn't take notes. I barely looked at the rundown.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
I just came in here to shoot the shit with you guys, and it was fun. Oh yeah.
Carito, I do have one thing more I'd like to say to you.
What's that?
Acknowledge me.
Oh my god. Hopefully they do it with less than a year. Fucking Roman. Fucking him and his fucking Ed, fucking Mr. Ed Teeth, his fucking whatever, his veneers, whatever. We get it. Whatever. You got new teeth. I don't know, guys. I think it's been a blast. AWP, we don't even have the website anymore, so I wouldn't say go to that. But maybe follow us or subscribe on YouTube, because that's where our old stuff lives. So
yeah, we're going to end up on Rumble because, you know.
Oh, man.
Hey, before we go, you think Rick Steiner drinks Bud Light?
Oh, God.